This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Put your head, jump out of bed, cause we're turning up the light. Yeah, it's time to awaken. Waitress, start a bacon. Broadway's back tonight. Your time to pop your cork, cause the future's looking bright.
The Tony Awards last weekend was quite a different event than in previous years. But a year and a half after the pandemic, Broadway is coming back, albeit with vaccination cards and masks and forehead thermometers, and of course sanitizer by the handful. Shows that closed in March of 2020 are now reopening. New shows are having their premieres. And the Broadway season is quite unusual in another way as well. It will feature seven plays written by Black playwrights, and believe it or not, that's a record. Vincent Cunningham and Alexandra Schwartz both write about theater for The New Yorker.
Everything has changed so much. I mean, so have you been to the theater lately? You know, have you dipped a toe in yet?
I've been to several shows, a couple things off Broadway. The first Broadway thing I saw was Passover by Antoinette Nwandu. And it was really, really excited in there. People were, you know, doing their woos and claps and stuff before the curtain even came up. It was like a sort of, everybody was really excited to be back. How about you? Have you been back in the seat yet?
I've been back in the seat in kind of the lowest key way. The only thing I have seen so far, and this is all about to change, but I went to the Hunter College's theater to see What Happened, Richard Nelson's final play in his Rhinebeck panorama. And yes, you know, visceral feelings of anxiety encountering fellow human beings in a small space, and that moment when someone coughs and everyone kind of seizes up. And this theater has, I don't know exactly how many seats, but I'd be willing to say fewer than 100. And, you know, I think I cried at least three times during that play, which I might have anyway. I love Richard Nelson. Yeah. And what he was working with specifically in this play is this sense of presence, of being with other people. The play, as many of his plays do, takes place around a kitchen table, and it is about being in community with other people. That feeling was really strong, and that reminded me of what we have been missing with the theaters closed. And Vincent, you know, I'm just wondering, we're about to get back into the seats. We're about to be in and out of theaters constantly over the next few months. What strikes you about this season, looking at what's on deck?
Well, you know, but I think, and we've talked about this before, I think that there's always a tension on Broadway between things that want to be kind of serious and intellectual and literary, and things that present themselves more as entertainment. It's funny because the first thing back, and I talked about this in my review just a bit, was Passover, which was a funny thing to be a first thing back, because, you know, Broadway is back comes with these like jazz hands that makes me think about like Aladdin the musical or whatever. And instead it was this downbeat meditation on like police violence and Black alienation and lots of other themes like that. And so it did seem like a bit of an uncomfortable fit. And then, you know, on the other hand, literally Aladdin the musical is in fact back. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking at plays like Is This a Room, which is the whistleblower reality winner's arrest by the FBI, her interrogation and her arrest by the FBI, and dramatizes it without straying from the transcript that is available to us.
Okay. Is your dog friendly? Okay, so she does not like men.
Okay. So that's a problem.
However, and she might come towards you, but she's not aggressive. She's never bitten anybody. She's just got, you know, a really good growl going. She'll probably just hide under my desk.
Okay. Do you have a leash or something where we could... Okay.
I can get her leashed up.
So what we might want to do is maybe let you go...
And I'm also just glancing at the calendar right now, looking ahead. And one thing that sticks out to me is Diana, the Princess Diana musical.
Just like that, they fell in love all of where...
So the contrast between, you know, a play about the arrest of Reality Winner and a play about Princess Diana, a musical about Princess Diana, I'm very curious about how audiences will react and also who the audiences are going to be. You know, presumably you have the diehard Broadway heads who want to show up and see stuff. But I wonder, you know, if the Diana audience member is also going to be the Is This a Room audience member.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. And, you know, disproportionately, the sort of Diana the musical side of it is peopled by tourists. And who knows how they're going to show up and what their place in all this will be, what tourism numbers will continue to look like as the season winds on. But I feel, you know, fairly certain that the tourist is not going to be, you know, psyched for Reality Winner.
Are there other things you're particularly looking forward to?
Well, yeah, looking forward, I'm always excited. Well, there are two new Lynn Nottage plays that I'm looking forward to, each in its own way. One is called Clydes, which will star one of my favorite actors these days, Uzo Aduba. I've been watching a lot of the show In Treatment and really enjoying her work. But then on the other hand, and who knows what that will hold. For me, Lynn Nottage is always a good time. But the other thing, which I think also brings this entertainment thing into view, is she's doing a Michael Jackson musical, which, you know, that's there are many things that could be brought up in connection with Michael Jackson. Of course, there's a version that is not so great that elides all of these things that could happen, but I'm hoping against hope that it will reveal itself, as you mentioned, to sort of walk that thin line between art and entertainment.
Me too. That is a fascinating project. And yeah, it's sort of like, you know, it seems like gold for a jukebox musical, what's not to love about the music, but the story and the ethical reality of dealing with a figure like Michael Jackson is, you know, it's quite complex and tricky. I really wonder what we're going to get with that one.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that everybody is talking about these days, the great big capital E everybody, is the proliferation of Black written shows on Broadway. I believe that they're, seven was the number we kept on hearing. And now that Slave Play is coming back, I guess you have to call it eight. Slave Play by Jeremy O'Harris. I wonder, Alex, do you think that this means something new in the future? Do you think it solves problems or poses new ones? What does that number mean to you?
That's such a good question. You know, the ultimate answer is we're not going to know until we see the plays, because we have no idea what these plays are going to be like. You know, will they be good? Will they be middling? Will they be not great? Who knows? I think the fact of more diversity on Broadway can only be good, because Broadway is like a slow moving cruise ship. It wants to appeal to its familiar audience. Its audience is by and large older, by and large whiter than the New York mean, certainly. And I think, you know, in moments like this where the season was just wiped clean by COVID, it clearly has given producers and theaters a new opening to try some new things and to bring some new voices to Broadway. I think that's really important. I think it's really important for the ecosystem of Broadway, for the theater in general. I mean, if Broadway is just a crowd-pleasing, tried-and-true entertainment device, yeah, that works for some of the things we need to work for tourism, for industry, et cetera. But as a creative field, not so much. I think the concern is what often happens when, you know, underrepresented groups are brought in. You know, it reminds me of the phenomenon of like when you hire a female CEO for your company just before the company takes, you know, is this an honest attempt? And I really hope it is. You know, what no one wants us to be is a cynical optics attempt. And then we don't see another really diverse Broadway season for the next 30 years. I'm going in and approaching it with a lot of optimism and with just the usual curiosity I have for any new show. How about you? What are you thinking about it?
Yeah, on the level of each individual play, I feel the exact same way. It's always like, go and see what happens, right? Go and see what the play does to you. You can only bring so much sociology with you into the scene, right? But for me, the big thing is, yes, like seeing whether this is a lasting change on the side of the selection of the plays, but also I think to the extent that it is a pressing opportunity in the now, it is how do you start to use this to be sort of, how do you use it to change what the audiences look like? How do you sort of turn Broadway, flawed as it is, into a vehicle for like small D democracy, which is like what the theater is supposed to be about.
Broadway lives and dies by who goes to see the plays. And it would be fascinating and fantastic if we could get a wider range of audience member. How amazing would it be if, in the best case scenario that I can see, is that Broadway's return to New York City a bit and to the people of New York. So that could be something very cool.
I do wonder if the movie version of Dear Evan Hansen will drive a new wave of people to that show too, which I have another thing that I have not seen. I have not been found in the seats of Evan Hansen. I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing, you know, now we're talking about all these exciting genre breaking new Broadway shows. Actually, I would like to kind of go around and see a lot of the musicals that have been around for a while that I have missed. Dear Evan Hansen is definitely at the top of my list. I haven't seen The Lion King since since I went with my parents and my younger cousin, I want to say in the year 2003. Is that possible?
That's possible, yeah.
You know, let's go see The Lion King. Would you like to go with me?
Let's go see The Lion King. Yep. Let's do
Great.
It.
Vincent Cunningham and Alexandra Schwartz are staff writers and critics for The New Yorker.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.